A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The disciples were on the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. Taking the 12 aside again, he began to tell them what was going to happen to him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes. And they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit upon him, scourge him, and put him to death. But after 3 days he will rise. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The chalice that I drink you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. The theme, really, of this gospel text, around which it all hangs together, is that of discipleship. It's an effort to teach us about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And in one way, it all moves towards that climactic final verse. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. And so likewise, we are not here as followers of Christ to be served, but to serve. However, before we come to that deeper awareness, there are so many interesting little details in the text that we cannot avoid. If we go back before that conclusion, we find Jesus asking the question, "Can you drink the cup, the chalice that I will drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I will be baptized?" This carries with it so many connotations. We think later of Jesus in Gethsemane, "Lord, if this cup, this chalice could pass me by, but not as I will, thy will be done." When we run across that expression, cup, chalice, in the New Testament, in the teaching of Jesus, it carries with it the connotation of what discipleship involves, what Jesus' life and mission involve, that it involves this journey to Jerusalem about which he had spoken earlier. It carries with us the question also about our receiving the cup during Eucharist, when we go to Mass, and how we might take it so easily, rather than with the full awareness that when we say yes to the cup in the Eucharist, receive from it, we are saying yes to the covenant. This is the cup of the new covenant, and we are saying yes then to discipleship and to the suffering, potential rejection, everything else that may be involved in that. So that important question, and Jesus says, "Yes, you will drink of this cup." They haven't yet understood if we go back even before that, earlier in the text, just the question that James and John come and ask that lead to this response of Jesus about the cup. They said, "Teacher, we want you to do what we ask." That is a rather bold statement. We want you to do whatever we ask of you. Just sort of looms large. They didn't say, "Would you consider doing us a favor?" No, we want you to do. And Jesus replies calmly, "Well, what is it that you wish?" What's most amazing about that, it seems to me, is that Jesus previously had attempted to instruct them about what this journey, geographically and symbolically, is all about. They were on their way to Jerusalem. The text says they were afraid. They had apprehensions. They knew something of events that had perhaps happened there before, or critique of Jesus that was very potential. So Jesus takes them aside, and it's not comforting what he has to say. For he begins to tell them about what it's all about, how he'll be handed over, condemned, even put to death, and yes, after 3 days rise, which we can understand, they might not understand. But after having said this about him being put to death, about what Jerusalem holds for them, about indeed the apprehensions that they have that he does not calm, how in the midst of that James and John could so totally ignore it, be oblivious to it? Have they not heard it, listened to it? Was their mind so preoccupied with a misunderstanding of the kingdom about which he's spoken so often that they didn't hear what discipleship involves? Can we hear? Do I hear what discipleship really is about? And that it is not about me, status, comfort, self-assurance. It's about following the path that Jesus Christ himself trod. Now, on another point, I'm a little sympathetic to James and John. It shows a certain ambition on their part, and often we as Christians tend to frown upon ambition. It's lacking in humility. But on the other hand, Jesus chose these men, chose these disciples with some awareness, and perhaps the Christian movement would not have taken off after the resurrection, even given all those resurrection experiences and appearance experiences, if there were not there among the disciples some who were ambitious in a certain way that could be put to good use as well as bad use. So it's not as if their assertiveness is all bad. It's just at this point arising out of profound misunderstanding. And so we come back to the question that Jesus asks that leads to the conclusion, "Can I drink of the cup of which Jesus drank?" And then that concluding awareness, we are not here to be served, but to serve. Perhaps no statement of Jesus says it more clearly, what following him means, taking up the cross. And indeed, it's dramatically displayed later in that last festive meal when he washes their feet. But it's not just that he has not come to serve and not to be served, but he says to give his life as a ransom for many. A poignant text that we have here in the Gospel of Mark about the extent to which that service will go. There's no holding back, even unto death, Paul says in Philippians, even death on a cross. Our service, in other words, knows no end. To the ultimate, whatever is asked of us, am I willing to drink of that cup? And then Jesus says, and to give his life, giving it a certain meaning, that it is to have a redemptive quality to it. And even for us as disciples to have the awareness that our modeling, our following after Jesus, our witness also has a certain redemptive role to play in the lives of others and the economy of salvation. Indeed, what does it mean to follow Christ, to take that journey to Jerusalem and beyond, to turn our lives over to God and say, as even the prophets of the Old Testament had said, "Here I am, Lord, take me."